Y'all ready? We ready to kick it off? Okay, here we go. The year is 1692, long time ago. There's a young woman. She came over from England, right outside of London, with her family. Her name is Susanna North. And her nickname was Beautiful Susanna. She was gorgeous, and everybody thought so. But she was also a very spirited woman. So when she came over to the United States in 1639 with her mom and dad, and they were rather prosperous. Her father was a very successful businessman and, interestingly enough, a preacher. She came over at 18, which is usually the age back then when you were getting married for a young woman. But not a lot of people wanted to marry her. And it's kind of sad because, as we said, she was gorgeous and she was smart. But Beautiful Susanna was a spirited woman. So at the age of 24, she finally met a man who was secure enough in himself to ask her to marry him. He was a blacksmith, which back then was a very important trade because every horse needed shoes. You needed to be able to make things like door handles and hinges. Blacksmiths were very prosperous businessmen. And she married him and they fell madly in love. Susanna and George, his last name was Martin. So Susanna's name now became Susanna North Martin. They had 9 children, which was a big family even back then. They were madly in love. And people used to kind of make fun of George. George was beloved in the town. He was the blacksmith that everybody loved. Sometimes he wouldn't even charge you to put a shoe on your horse. He was a wonderful person. Kind of the person that everybody loved in the town. His wife, not so much, because she was very opinionated. Back then, they didn't want women to have opinions. Sad enough. But George loved the fact that his wife had opinions. And George was viewed as the guy who could actually control Susanna North Martin. So everybody kind of liked the fact that George could control her. Well, she got into a fight, not physically, but verbally, with another woman in the town. They settled in the town of Salem in the county of Essex in Massachusetts. And there, George opened up his blacksmith shop and they started buying property all around and became a very wealthy family as a result of it. And as a result of this, one day, one of the women in the town picked a fight, an argument, I should say, with Susanna. And she got so mad at her that she brought her up on charges before the local sheriff on witchcraft, which was a very serious offense because witchcraft under British common law, remember we talked about what that was a capital offense. It was a common law felony back then. Now, we didn't use it in Mr. and Mrs. Lamb, the common law felonies that we talked about the last time. Remember what Mr. and Mrs. Lamb was, murder, rape, manslaughter, robbery, larceny, arson, mayhem and burglary. It wasn't part of Mr. and Mrs. Lamb. And remember, sodomy, which is part of the Mrs., is no longer a crime under New York state law. But those were the common law felonies. And remember, a felony meant you could get the death penalty. But witchcraft under British common law was a felony. So charging somebody with witchcraft was a very serious accusation. It was similar to charging them with murder. Well, they held a trial, and George came to testify. And he said, "My wife is a very religious woman. She's the mother to our 9 children." Actually, by then it was 8, because sadly one of them died. "But she's been a wonderful wife. She's very religious. She says her prayers every night. She wouldn't be involved in some satanic cult or witchcraft. This is just an angry woman who doesn't like her because she has her own opinions." "Well, her opinions are the same as mine," George said. And he testified at this witchcraft trial. And all the people of the town, of course, loved George. So she was acquitted. The jury came back and said the witchcraft charges are bogus. Well, George and Susanna have a beautiful life. But sadly, in 1686, George passes away from a heart attack. And he leaves Susanna all to herself. Now, Susanna loses a huge source of income because George is no longer there to do the blacksmiths. But George was a smart man. He trained a whole bunch of people from the town to do blacksmith trading. So what Susanna did was hire them. She still had George's blacksmith shop, and she used the blacksmith shop and hired all the people to do it. And she'd give them a salary and they'd give them a portion of the business. And with those portions, Susanna would go around and buy adjoining parcels of land. And she ended up by 1692 as the largest landowner in all of Essex County. Now, back then, women were not viewed as successful business people. But Susanna was. She had a great mind for business. She was brilliant. People cut her a lot of slack for the 6 years since her husband passed away because they loved George so much. And they were sad that George died. And they knew that Susanna loved George a lot. But in 1692, something was about to happen in Salem, Massachusetts. Something very sad and something very bad. Now, McKinley, I got to ask you a question. Now, when you were a little girl, and you have to turn your speaker on, sweetie.
Okay.
When you were a little girl and you did something that your parents may not wanted you to do, would you freely admit what you did?
No.
Okay. How about you, Patricia? Would you do that? Would you freely admit what you did? Most kids would not, so you would not either.
No, probably.
Okay. Well, that's the typical person. That's not unusual, ladies. It's what children do. I've had 2 daughters, and I understand that. And there were a bunch of young ladies in the town, and they were getting into mischief. Not anything seriously. They were gossiping and playing and running around and doing things that children do. They were pre-teenagers. They were about 11 and 12 years old. Okay? And there's 3 of these young ladies who are in the town, and they were playing together. They were playing in a barn. And they were basically gossiping about their friends. Well, you got to remember that Salem, Massachusetts was a Puritan committee. A community is founded by the Pilgrims. They didn't look too kindly on gossip. So the 3 little girls who were involved in it didn't want to tell their parents when they came home late for supper one night that they were in the barn gossiping. So what do you think they said, Jason. Jason, what do you think they said? They didn't want to take responsibility. So what do you think?
They lied?
Yes, they did. And Sean, what do you think they said?
We weren't doing it.
They said, yes, we were doing it. We weren't there because the devil made us do it. That evil Satan made us do it. And they thought that would get them out of it because they're not responsible because the devil made them do it. Now, as a parent, if your child comes home to you and says, the devil made me do it, you're going to look at them and say, you're full of bananas. That's what they should have said. But there was a local pastor who was going around the area of Massachusetts Bay preaching, and I think it's where these little girls got the idea, that there was such a thing called spectral invasion, meaning that spirits would invade people's bodies, possession, controlled by the devil, to make them do bad things. And this preacher, who was kind of nutty, said, you can admit in a court of law under witchcraft that somebody is creating these specters, they're releasing the devil's minions, and it's going into people, and that's why there's bad things. Well, obviously these kids heard it. That's one of the reasons why they probably went home and said, we don't want to tell our parents what we were really doing, so we're going to just say the devil made us do it. Well, the parents, after hearing these sermons, went to their children. And what happens when you tell a lie? It tends to snowball, sadly. And when these parents ask these children, what do you mean the devil made you do it? Who was the witch who released these Satan minions into your specters and caused you to be possessed to do bad things? All of these young ladies were taken care of by a nanny. And she was a young woman from Haiti. And Haiti has an alternative religion, even back then, called voodoo. And this young woman who was their nanny, who obviously everybody loved, by the way, was a practitioner of voodoo. She literally would kill small animals and hold sacrifices on it. She's kind of an odd duck on that. But everybody loved her, and she was a very nice young lady. She was a very moral young lady, and she never abused the children or anything bad like that. But she was the first person that they would come to mind, not because she practiced voodoo per se, but because she was their nanny. So they said, let's throw the nanny under the bus. Everybody loves her anyway. She was the witch. See, she's practicing voodoo. And the parents quickly bought that. So they brought in, her name was Tibua, and they brought in Tibua and said, we heard you're a witch. Now, who here has ever seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail? Raise your hand. Anybody? Okay. Remember the scene, Sam, where they have the witch that comes in? In Monty Python and the Holy Grail, they bring in a witch, and somebody turns to her and says, how do you know she's a witch? They say, she's got a carrot for her nose. She say, you put that carrot on her. Yeah, but she turned me into a newt. Well, you're not a newt now. I got better. She's not a very good witch. They talked to Tibula. And they said, have you been practicing witchcraft? She said, no, I practice voodoo, which means I catch squirrels and I disembowel them, which is pretty gross, but it's not witchcraft. And the parents all liked her, and she was a really good nanny. So they basically said, it can't be her, because they didn't really want to get rid of their nanny. So they go to the prosecutor of the town. He's also the town judge. Now, this young man has a nephew who is the town sheriff. It's all kind of colluding here. They go to the prosecutor. His name is Jonathan Corwin. And they said, we have a witch amongst us. We have to root her out and find her. She's polluting our children's mind. These are good little girls. They shouldn't be involved in witchcraft. So what does Mr. Corwin do? Mr. Corwin is the judge in the town. And under British colonial law, not the law of England, but in the colonies, because they don't have a lot of lawyers, they don't have a lot of judges, they don't have a lot of prosecutors. The prosecutor and the judge is the same person. Now, that would appall us today, but back then, that's what it was. And remember, the sheriff is his nephew. So the law enforcement and the judge are all part of the same family. And worse yet, they are paid out of commissions from arresting people and seizing their land. So the Corwins get together, the nephew and the uncle, and they start going through the town to try and find the witches. And guess who they start with? Susanna North Martin. Is it any coincidence that she was also the largest landowner in the town? Susanna North Martin, if they convicted her of witchcraft, they would get a portion of her property because you have to forfeit your property if you're convicted of a capital offense. And guess who would benefit from that? The judge and the sheriff. So they arrest Susanna North Martin, who, remember, had been accused of witchcraft before. And they put her on trial for witchcraft. And who testifies, or who was made to testify, but the three girls. Now, those three girls are in a box. Can they admit to their parents, oh, we made this all up, it's not really true? They're going to get in real trouble if they do that. And remember, their preacher is telling them every week as they sit in church that guess what? There's these specters, these spirits around there who are coming into you and they are controlling things. So they go into court and say they see these specters and that Susanna North Martin is controlling them. Now, they don't give Susanna a lawyer. They don't give Susanna the right to defend herself with any legal procedures that we would have today. They do give a physical exam to her to see if she's got a carrot for a nose, Sam, or some kind of physical evidence on her body that she is a witch. Now, interestingly enough, if you go through the record of the case, this physical exam is more like a physical assault. She's in custody because the nephew, George, arrests her and puts her in jail. And guess who else is in jail with her? They arrest the 9 other largest landowners in the town and charge them with witchcraft. It's not a scattergun approach. They're self-interested, and it's really, really bad. Susanna North Martin talks to all the other young ladies who are in jail with her and acts as a mother to them, because most of them are younger women. Susanna is 71 years old at this time. So she's an old, old lady, particularly for that time. And during this physical examination, they find nothing wrong with her. She's in really good health. And if you read the record, it is like this Monty Python skit. They try to railroad her into being a witch. She keeps saying, I'm not a witch. She keeps saying, I'm a very religious person. I go to church. I say my prayers. I'm not involved with the devil. I love children. I've never dealt with these children. It's a horrible situation. Ariel, guess what they find? You think they find her guilty?
At that time, I think so, but she was convicted before as a witch, right? So, and it got overturned.
She was acquitted the first time. But do you think they convict her now?
No, because that's double jeopardy.
What? No. Well, can I tell you, this is a new charge. They're saying they're doing a new witchcraft. She wasn't doing it before, but she's doing it now. So it wouldn't be double jeopardy. What do you think, Julia? You think they convict her?
Yeah, they convict her.
They convict her. Ariel, she's toast. They convict her. Because guess what? They don't even give her a lawyer. And she's protesting her innocence. It's really a railroad job. Not only that, all these other women who were brought on trial and one man, they're all saying, I'm innocent, but so is she. But remember, they didn't like her. The town doesn't like her. She's an outspoken, spirited woman. She should be acquitted, but she's not. They take her in a cart and bring her to what we call today the gallows. It was just really a big, tall tree. And they parade her through the town in the back of this cart with a horse pulling it. And the townspeople pelt her with garbage as she goes through. It's a horrible thing. And they hang her. They execute her. Now, they end up executing several people. And what they did was, if you admitted to being a witch, they would send you in to the clergy in that town to try and have you rehabilitated. Stop doing witchcraft. But if you denied it, they would convict you and kill you. So the people who proclaimed their innocence, all of which who were executed. The first being Susanna North Martin. And guess what? The judge who was convicting them, because they didn't have a jury trial, and the sheriff who was arresting them, all got their lands. It was all about the property. These weren't poor people that they were accusing. Because they worked on a commission, it was all them. It is really sad. Now, the governor of Massachusetts Bay Colony hears that Salem has lost its mind. It's murdering people, saying that they're all witches. He comes there and says, you have to stop this immediately. Everybody who's been convicted, who has yet to have been executed, he commutes their sentence. He says, I'm sorry, I'm pardoning all of you. You guys are insane. But who doesn't he pardon? Susanna North Martin. He lets them keep her as a convicted person because she's already dead. And that way, by not pardoning her, all her lands remain with the judge and with the sheriff. And remember, she's the largest landowner in the entire county. He pardons everybody else because otherwise their entire families, even if they were executed, would be indigent. They would be poor because they don't have any land left. And what is land? Wealth, power, and life. But the one he doesn't pardon is Susanna North Martin. Now, I want to fast forward. I want to go to October 31st, 2001, Halloween. There is a senator for the state of New York who wants to make sure that she finally gets pardoned. The name should not go down in history as a convicted witch. And one of her relatives, by the way, becomes president of the United States. Her 7-great-grandson is Chester A. Arthur. But her family became indigent. All of the 8 children lost all title to their land. This was a tragedy. And in 300 years, it had never been corrected. So this certain state senator goes to the mayor, governor of the state of Massachusetts, Jane Swift was her name, and says, would you please pardon Susanna North Martin? If for nothing other than to set the record straight. And Governor Swift thinks about it. And on Halloween Day, 2001, 300 years later, she pardons Susanna North Martin, finally bringing justice to this case. That state senator was my father. And Susanna North Martin is my 10th great-grandmother. Interesting story. See you guys next week. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Happy Halloween.
Thank you. You too, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Happy Halloween.
Enjoyed your company. Thanks.
Can you check if my custom counts, Professor?
I'll count it.
Oh, I haven't even worn it yet.
Guess what? It's close enough. It's all good.
Oh. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Professor?
Yes, dear.
Did you count my costume?
I did. I thought it was awesome.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're too young to play an old lady.
Thank you. Happy Halloween.
You
take
too.
Care.
Thank you. And New Ryan, I got you.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Actually, I got mine right here. It's an eye clicker right here.
I think it's awesome. Way to go.
All right, Jenny, thank you. Appreciate it.
You're far too beautiful to turn around and be the Joker. But I think it's cool.
Thank you.
I got you, honey. Thank you, Josette. You have a good night.